Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What are electric vehicles? What would it take to actually implement these vehicles? And how would that implementation affect the trucking industry? Well, we'll answer all of these questions and more on this edition of Getting Schooled. I'm Abby Hornacek. So, I was recently in Los Angeles, and my brother owns an F-150. My family was together, and we were looking for a gas station. And that is when I had an experience that a lot of people across America are having. And that's pulling into a gas station and realizing that in some places, gas prices are upwards of $6. I looked at my brother and I was like, good luck with that, bro. I'm here for all of the emotional support you need. But this has brought up a bigger question in our country. And that's a conversation of, are these gas prices leading to more electric vehicles? And why aren't we driving more of them? With that, though, comes questions like, what's the affordability of going electric? And what about the infrastructure? Is it expensive? What about the trucking industry? Then there's hydrogen electric vehicles. Is that different? Well, I know a guy who might have the answers, and his name is Angelo Cafanteris. He's the CEO of Hyperion Motors, and he joins me now. Angelo, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Abby.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you coming on to talk about this topic because it's something that has become a lot more relevant as of late, just because the gas prices are so high. We're talking about the environment, things like that. So let's just start off with, how do electric vehicles work?
Okay, so first, let me give a little bit about my background, because while I am an expert in electric vehicles, I'm more specifically an expert in hydrogen electric vehicles. So traditional battery electric vehicles, as people commonly know them, things like a Tesla or another type of battery electric car from, let's say, General Motors, these are battery vehicles that are using lithium ion batteries to store energy. You'll charge these vehicles at your home or, of course, at a fast charge station. And through a network of, stations across the country, the value proposition is essentially a clean alternative to internal combustion engines, which are inefficient. And then you essentially can, sort of piggyback off of that to some of the other benefits, which is added torque, comfort if you don't want to deal with, a lot of noise when you're driving. And so these are really some of the benefits of electric vehicles. And these electric vehicles can be broken down into battery electric, which is what we described, and then hydrogen electric, which is more in line with what I specifically do and how that's all connected.
Okay, great. I want to kind of get into both of those because I think it's important for people to know that there is a difference and we can utilize that energy in different ways. So how, you mentioned internal combustion engines. How does that differ from battery electric or hydroelectric vehicles?
So an internal combustion engine is going to take a hydrocarbon, which actually is hydrogen and carbon together, daisy chained in a sort of a complex molecule, and it's going to combust it using oxygen as the oxidizer coming from the air. You'll have, traditionally a system of pistons creating that moving power. There's going to be exhaust, which is going to be the carbon. And sometimes you'll notice in the exhaust of internal combustion, there's a little bit of water, actually, and that's part of the hydrogen, because whenever you actually burn hydrogen, you do get a little bit of water as well, H2O and oxygen. So the way that an internal combustion engine works is, traditional for the last 120 years. I think people are pretty familiar with that. And the way a battery engine works, or battery, pack would work, is you'll have an electric motor sort of connected to a battery pack. The battery pack will be rated to a certain kilowatt hours. That will determine how long your range is. in the early stages of battery electric vehicles, there was a lot of range anxiety because the range was is not as would be expected in internal combustion. So where you normally get between 350 miles range plus on internal combustion, you were getting like 100 miles range on a battery electric vehicle. So over the years, those ranges have increased. Costs have come down for battery electric vehicles, but there are still challenges. For example, if you were to charge a battery electric vehicle, every time you're to charge it, you know, even if it's a fast charge, there's going to be some degradation to the battery specifically. And that is just like your cell phone. You know, whenever you leave your cell phone out in the sun, it could get really hot, and then your battery life is sort of at risk. See, batteries don't like to be, you know, very hot or very cold. They like to be sort of this perfect temperature. And so battery technology works really well in the West Coast, but not so much in the, you know, sort of the Midwest and the East Coast of the country. And so battery technology does have its limitations. And this is where technologies like hydrogen come in and really sort of capitalize on those differences. For example, hydrogen, instead of having an 8-hour overnight charge, you can do a very, very fast 3-minute charge for hydrogen. And you do it just like you would go at a station. You pop the cap off, you put your nozzle on, and 3 to 5 minutes, you're on your way. And so hydrogen is an interesting difference where it's going to use a fuel cell to take the electrons stored within the hydrogen molecule itself and separate it so that you have a byproduct of water. So your byproduct in the fuel cell vehicle is going to be water. And then you also get that same torque from the electric motor. So I think people really like electric cars because of that torque. And it's all about having ways to sort of offset sort of the downsides, like long charge times, like the ability to recharge at different time parts of the country that are colder than others. This is where sort of hydrogen has its benefit. Hydrogen doesn't need to be perfect temperature. It can be very, very cold. It can be very, very hot. It works just the same. And so there are some other benefits, for example, range. So for example, our company, I'm the CEO at Hyperion, and one of our vehicles that we make actually gets over 1,000 miles range. So we really wanted to showcase the differentiation of the benefits of a hydrogen electric vehicle compared to a battery electric vehicle with that particular product. And that's called the XP1.
That was really interesting. I'm just going to jump in really quickly because I wanted to follow up on something that you said. You said, you know, electric vehicles where it may have to charge overnight, hydrogen vehicles can charge up 3 to 5 minutes and you're off. You explained it, but if you could just break that down further in kind of like a layman's terms, how a hydrogen electric vehicle uses that energy as opposed to what we have, you know, in, you know, the
battery electric.
Battery electric, yes.
Yeah. Right. So the correct acronym is FCEV for fuel cell electric vehicle and BEV for battery electric vehicle. But I know that's really confusing to a lot of people. And so it'd be great to sort of clarify that for a lot of folks and listeners on the show. So to break it down, for a battery electric vehicle, it's going to do a charge overnight. It will take 8 hours depending on the power going in. You could also technically do a fast charge, very, very high voltage. The challenge with the high voltage fast charge, which could take, you know, 25 minutes, is that it will get your batteries very, very hot, and it will basically limit the life of the battery. But the difference in the chemistry essentially is those lithium ions are being charged, right, with your actual home outlet. The difference with a fuel cell electric vehicle is it's actually a gas. It's a hydrogen gas that's being put into your car at pressure. And because it's a gaseous form, it fills up very, very fast and allows you to really, really have a quick refuel. And the added benefit is because hydrogen is the most abundant element in the universe and the lightest element that we know, it's lighter than air. So you can actually have a full tank of gas and it weighs very, very, very little. And that's one of the problems with battery electric vehicles because they're so heavy. Batteries are extremely heavy. They're like 1,350 pounds on a lot of these battery electric vehicles. You have to lug around that weight. And anybody who, you know, is a fan of Newton means, you know, force equals mass times acceleration. You're basically going to have a challenge moving around all that mass because it needs a lot of energy. So with a hydrogen electric vehicle, because it's so lightweight, you have the same benefit of getting the same power out of that fuel cell engine, and then also not having the penalty of the high weight. And the difference is, instead of putting ions in your battery pack, you're actually just putting molecules in your tank, just like you'd be putting molecules in your internal combustion engine tank. And you'll see, you still have a tank in a hydrogen electric vehicle. And the way that it's going to take the power out of that is not by combustion, like it is in internal combustion, but by passing it through a fuel cell electric vehicle or fuel cell engine, essentially. It's a module, but it can be thought of as an engine. And that's going to take the electrons out of the hydrogen powering your actual motors.
So the electrons are what then fuel the car?
Yes. So the electrons power the electric motors. And so you basically, the more hydrogen you pass through this fuel cell stack, the more power you get out of it, right? And so you want to, you know, pass a lot of hydrogen through. You want to mix it with oxygen when it comes out on the back end and it turns to water. So basically it's marrying the hydrogen on one end with oxygen on the back end, and then it turns it into water as a byproduct. And this whole transition is basically creating electricity. And so you're basically, imagine you've got a fuel cell stack, which you can think about like a loaf of bread. That loaf of bread has peanut butter and jelly in between each things. Those are the catalysts. That catalyst is actually made of platinum and a lot of other different materials as well. It reacts to the hydrogen, and that hydrogen now is essentially splitting its molecular form back into its atomic form and releasing what held them together, which was an atom. So you're basically taking that electron that's coming off of that molecule and you're powering your electric motors, correct?
Got it. Okay, so I guess what I'm wondering then is, we have all of this talk saying, you know, if people wanna transition to electric vehicles because of the environment, things like that. Why don't we all just go to hydroelectric vehicles then?
Well, I want to clarify that terminology because it is a little misleading to say hydroelectric, because hydroelectric is actually technically like taking a dammed river and turning that into mechanical power and then turning that into electric power. So hydrogen electric would be the correct term. And to repeat your question, why don't we all just drive hydrogen vehicles? Well, I'll tell you, it's because the infrastructure necessary for there to be hydrogen at every gas station will be a challenge. Whereas everybody has electric in their home, let's say that they get from their wall, they can actually take that electric and charge their battery electric vehicle. It's difficult to do that with hydrogen because you actually need that hydrogen gas. And so what Hyperion is trying to do here is solve that problem. We're trying to solve the infrastructure issue that there is. Basically, it's a chicken or the egg problem. If there's a lot of stations and not a lot of cars, there's no incentive to build these stations. And if there's a lot of cars but no stations, nobody's going to have a place to fill up. Mm. So the best way to move forward is what they've been done in actually California. We're located in Orange, California. We have a manufacturing facility in Central Ohio. But the best way to do it is to build them in tandem. And so I actually drive a hydrogen electric vehicle, and it's a wonderful experience. It's very, very fast refuel. But I do know the challenges are that there's just not that many hydrogen stations out there. And so we have a solution with our technology that allows you to effectively give a person more flexibility to how they charge their hydrogen electric vehicle. So to answer your question, why are we driving hydrogen cars? It's because there's not a lot of hydrogen out there. And also because we want to make this technology more affordable for people, which is what we're actively doing as well. So we're making fuel cell modules or fuel cell engines, however you want to look at them, as cheap as possible so we can bring this technology to the masses. But there's more things we can do with hydrogen, which we can get to in a little bit.
All right, we've got to step aside for a quick recess, but we'll be back right after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, I'm just kind of looking at the current state of the country, and we obviously are experiencing these extremely high gas prices. It's not only a whole other topic. It's not only just a problem in cars, but a problem people can't heat their homes, things like that. But I remember I was recently in LA and I drove past a gas station and I saw the gas prices and it was upwards of $6.30. And I was like, there is no way you could be driving around with these kind of gas prices. So then that comes the conversation of, all right, well, if we are to, you know, implement more electric vehicles, that would solve a lot of problems, right? But I guess if we're going to bring it back just to the general conversation of electric vehicles as a whole, Why is that a challenge right now to make that transition? Because, you know, you had mentioned that there aren't as many resources to fill up your hydrogen electric vehicle, but isn't that kind of the same case with electric vehicles? Do we have the infrastructure to be able to do that and the resources?
Great question. And you bring up a few interesting points. So number one, you are correct. There's not a lot of not a lot of battery electric vehicle charging stations out there. There is an infrastructure network that has been built by one automaker. But there is a plan within this sort of Build Back Better infrastructure plan to build more charging stations for not just battery vehicles, but also hydrogen vehicles. So I think it's a challenge that's being addressed. But yes, you are right. It is not an ideal situation. The real issue right now is if you own a home, if you have a place to have a 40 amp charger in your house, you can have, you know, a fancy battery electric car. But if you don't have that with you, it is a challenge. So, you know, you really want to make electric cars cheaper for the masses and give people more charging options. And that's going to take some time because ideally you want to be able to have a similar system we have now where a person can leave their apartment. They don't have a place to park the car otherwise. They'll leave their apartment, they park on the street. They go to a station. They can do a quick charge on a battery or a quick charge on a hydrogen vehicle and be on their way. But that infrastructure is going to take time. A bigger question would be, Abby, is the reason why gas prices are so high? Instead of being sort of reactive, what about looking at the initial cost? And that is basically a geopolitical situation that we're in right now with Russia and with other countries that are not as friendly to the United States. And the challenge there is a lot of the natural resources that it takes to create these battery electric vehicles like lithium ions or lithium ion batteries and lithium itself are mined in these areas that are so friendly to the United States. And so I think a bigger question is, how can we have a system that doesn't rely so heavily on outside sources of these raw materials? And this is one of the benefits, I think, of hydrogen, and that you can have essentially your whole ecosystem built in the United States without having to rely on a lot of lithium ion and build all your infrastructure internally using just water to convert to hydrogen. And that would be the greenest way to get hydrogen. Whereas the byproduct of a fuel cell engine is water, you can actually have that same ending chemical, water, and turn it right back into hydrogen, which is essentially what's we do here at Hyperion through electrolysis. And so that, I think, is a better way to provide fuel, is by basically having a system where we can convert water to hydrogen, where we don't rely so heavily on lithium ion, and essentially we can be more self-directing in terms of our goals here in America.
Right. I will make a quick note. It definitely, there are more reasons why the gas prices are higher than just the issues with Russia right now. That's a whole nother conversation. But I do have a question on lithium ion batteries, because my mind goes to, look, I host a show about national parks. I would love to do everything that we can to protect the environment and, you know, make it the best that we can. And then my mind immediately went to lithium ion batteries, because how do you dispose of those at the end of the day? How does that work?
So you bring up all the problems with lithium ion, and these are the reasons why we're in the hydrogen business. We're not really huge fans of battery electric vehicles as they currently are. So the problem with lithium, not only is it a challenge from a natural resources perspective, like we already mentioned, it's also a challenge from when you're mining it itself. It's very pollutive to the environment, which is not great. And then in addition to that, the disposal of this is a challenge. I'll tell you why. Leaders of these big tech companies that do battery electric vehicles will brag that it's recyclable. But what they don't tell you is that to recycle it is actually really, 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 really cost prohibitive. And so what they'll end up doing with these battery packs that have sort of gone through, you know, 50% capacity because they've been used so much, is they'll recycle them by putting them in other buildings for backup power. So some more stationary power backup. That's sort of how they have a second life. But the challenge then becomes, what happens whenever they reach, you know, 10% capacity or less than that? And what do you do with all this lithium? Well, first of all, you have to take apart, you know, these thousands upon thousands of cells, very, very small cells inside this battery. You have to effectively unroll these chemistries. Then you have to treat these chemistries. And it is a real problem. And what we're trying to avoid, I know your podcast is about electric vehicles in general, but we're trying to have a better solution to battery electric vehicles. We're trying to have a solution where you don't have to worry about recyclability so much with thousands upon thousands, you know, per car of lithium ion battery that you have to recycle. We're looking at a much lighter system with fuel cells that do not require this insane cost to recycle. That is a solution that people can more conveniently get behind because they're used to the practice of going to a station, filling up and going about their business at a very short period of time. So for us, we see the same challenges that you are identifying. And it's actually the reason why we've gone in the direction of hydrogen fuel cells.
This is interesting, Angelo, because I mean, the idea of an electric vehicle sounds great, right? I mean, you are driving, you're not polluting the environment, you can just charge up the station, but there are challenges. So it sounds like you guys kind of have an alternative to that where you do address some of those problems. I appreciate that conversation because, I love to play devil's advocate because every time there's something that's good that can happen, you have to be like, okay, but what are the challenges and how do we overcome those challenges? That's how you become successful, right?
Exactly. Actually another challenge that I really just want to mention really quickly, if I could.
Yeah.
It feels green to the driver because they plug it into their home and they're getting an electric charge for their battery electric vehicle and they feel like they're helping the environment. But they don't see the mining that it's costing, right? They also don't see where their electricity is coming from. And 7 times out of 10 or more, it's not coming from solar, right? It's coming from coal for the central part of the country. It's coming from nuclear for other parts of the country. And it's coming from natural gas. And natural gas was actually sort of a progressive thing a few years ago, but it is polluted. And so they're going to actually use natural gas to burn, right? Burning natural gas to turn a turbine to turn electricity from this natural gas, and then to put that electricity on the grid. And that entire process actually takes 65% of the energy away and still pollutes 35% of what you normally get from burning coal. So it is very pollutive. And these people who drive these battery electric vehicles, they think that they're doing something good for the environment, but it's actually not green when you take a step back behind the home to where electricity is actually coming from. And so these are some of the issues that people, they look at it from one side, they don't look at it from the other side. You have to look at the entire picture. And for us, when you look at a hydrogen solution, you can actually create hydrogen very, very easily from water through a process called electrolysis using wind and solar and distribute it very easily to in a centralized form to a large group of people and refuel cars in 3 to 5 minutes. So it's a green solution that is zero emissions, that's converting water to hydrogen. And then when it's done, basically powering your car, it turns right back into water. So it's a closed sort of cycle that is very, very convenient for drivers and for us. We think that when you want to look at a problem, if it looks pretty, it's just half of it. You've got to make it work in a holistic view. And for us, hydrogen fuel cells are the only way to make, you know, electric vehicles viable in the complete package.
Absolutely. I love that you say that. You kind of have to look at the whole problem because I think a lot of us, we all want the solution, right? I mean, think we, in our country in general, again, this is, I'm getting on a tangent, but this is a whole other conversation, but I feel like we all want similar things. We want good for the environment. We want everyone to be happy. We want this, all everything, but everyone has kind of a different way of thinking about what the solution is. So if you look at electric vehicles, you see some of the challenges, even though in theory, everything sounds great, but then you look at hydrogen electric vehicles and you bring up a lot of solutions to the problems that might face an electric vehicle. So I guess for you then, my question would be, what is the challenge for you guys as a company to get this out on the market in a broader scale where everyone is, instead of the conversation saying, hey, we need to go electric, we go, hey, we need to go hydrogen electric.
Yeah, that's a great question. So For us, it's the chicken or the egg situation, right? Mm-hmm. We want to tell the story of hydrogen, right? We want people to understand the benefits of it. We built a really exciting car that tells, you know, 0 to 60 in, you know, 2.2 seconds, top speed over 200 miles an hour, like a really sexy car that, that does a great job of telling the story of the benefits of hydrogen, can refill in 5 minutes and gets 1,000 miles range. You know, really, really great things. The challenge is the stations, right? The stations are extremely expensive. You know, a gasoline station can cost between $500,000 and $800,000. And that's a good profit for a person who's trying to start a business. When you look into a fuel cell, you know, electric vehicle and a hydrogen station, you're looking at between $2.5 million and like $4.5 million per station. And that is really, really expensive. And so what we have focused on, actually the car was just part of our story. What we focused on was having a refueling solution that is very low in cost that can be deployed in a multitude of places across the country and provide that, that much needed infrastructure for ourselves and for all the other fuel cell electric vehicles that are already on the road today, which there are actually three companies doing that today. And so we want to be able to contribute to the solution of infrastructure. And that is actually our primary goal at Hyperion, is solving this infrastructure problem. The car is just the way that we tell the story. And so I'm so glad you asked that question, because the car aspect is one way. We have to look at it from the other perspective, which is what can you really do holistically, which is this infrastructure piece. And there's actually even more you can do, which we can talk about a little bit later.
Okay. Well, I mean, I do want to get into that for sure. I feel like we need to define a little bit more I want to keep talking about hydrogen electric vehicles for sure, but I do want to paint a broader picture about electric vehicles and, you know, kind of how that works in general. And if you want to go into hydrogen electric vehicles on top of that, that would be great, because I do want to see every side of it. So I guess, like, when I think about a vehicle, I think about oil, I think about transmissions. Do electric vehicles have both of those?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on which electric vehicle you're looking at, but there will be a transmission for an electric vehicle that wants to go a higher top speed. But most electric vehicles that are out there have like a single speed motor, which is really just, you know, one speed transmission. And so you don't have as complex a system of gearing, and then more power on the low end. When it comes to oil, there is no oil. There are, of course, lubricants that are used for some of the motors. But the way that you are looking at oil as a massive system of lubrication does not exist on a normal electric vehicle. So it is a much simpler approach. Electric vehicles have the benefit of being really, really simple compared to, internal combustion, where you have in an engine alone, thousands upon thousands of parts. You're looking at over 3,000 parts in internal combustion system, the car entirely, and, you know, in the multitudes of smaller amount of parts for a battery and fuel cell electric vehicle. So you have this real benefit of simplicity. When you take apart and we've done this, when you take apart electric vehicles, you'll find they look more like a cell phone inside. There's a lot of chips. There's a lot of modules for converting power. There's the batteries themselves, and then there's the motors. Whereas if you were to take apart internal combustion, you have your main centralized power plant, diverting, rotational energy from the front of the vehicle to oftentimes the back of the vehicle, transmissions and transaxles that'll divert that energy again to each wheel. So it is a more complex system for sure. And in this transition that we're looking at and getting, whether it's hydrogen, whether it's battery electrics, this transition is actually going to eliminate a lot of these suppliers that are, global suppliers in this country and everywhere else that have been making, transaxles. They've been making parts that are only spark plugs, intake manifolds, exhaust manifolds, all these complex pieces. There's all these specialists out there, and eventually these things are going to be sort of phased out. And so it is a much simpler system, but we also want to look at the broader picture of how is this going to affect the economy if all these companies that once made, intake manifolds are no longer here. And the truth is they all need to convert into this new wave of technology, which is going to be a battery electrics and hydrogen electric vehicles, so they could be essentially growing with this new industry.
I see. I have kind of, I hate saying like I have a dumb question, but I feel like it's a pretty dumb question, but it's one that I want to ask. When it comes to hydrogen electric vehicles, I think about water and then, something that's causing electricity, but also the way that a car runs. How do you manage the safety of using water in a car so that it doesn't shut down the whole entire system. Like if a car was to drive into a pond, it's no longer going to work. How do you make that work with water essentially?
First off, no dumb questions. So I appreciate you asking that. I get excited when I hear a new question. This is the first time I've been asked this. So this is fun for me. So you're asking, you know, you're thinking traditionally, like if you were to drop your cell phone into your toilet or your bathtub, obviously it's going to stop working.
And yeah, you're it's happened about, to me before, Angelo. I can speak from experience.
Same here. but basically my point is that problem doesn't necessarily exist so much because you're looking at a large vat of water. Where what we're looking at is the water component of a hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicle is only on the exhaust portion, right? So the fuel is coming in as hydrogen. It gets, you know, recombined with oxygen after it's gone through its process. And because of that, it turns back into water, right? And that water now will be in vapor form, and it will be basically coming out of the exhaust. And so there really is no water management issues as it relates to electronics because they actually are going to be out of the car by the time it's passed through its cycle. If that helps you answer your question.
That definitely helps to answer my question. Thank you. Well, I mean, it's curious because if all of us, you know, don't come from necessarily a scientific background and we don't know exactly how the things work inside of the cars. So I love just hearing about how everything functions, yeah. You know, the start to finish and how we get it to actually go. Angela, I would love if there's anything else you want to say about the impact of electric vehicles, where we need to go from here. I'd love to hear that.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. So I would say for the future of electric vehicles, you know, we as a country need to decide like what we want to use transportation for, right? Is transportation going to be in a ride sharing stance where people move away from purchasing their own vehicle? Are driver vehicles going to be something that people want to continue to have, a vehicle that they enjoy driving themselves and have total control? What is going to be the migration of automobiles in this country and also, you know, globally? Cars are such an amazing part of, you know, American history. And we have some great, you know, products out there that we've put particularly in the 50s and 60s in that jet inspired age. But where are we going to go as a nation and as a country globally from here? And I think that if the future is electric, which I think we can all agree is the most efficient way to go forward, how can we make it as efficient holistically as possible? So I think that if you want a small electric vehicle that doesn't get a lot of, you know, range, but is definitely simple, I think battery electrics do a pretty good job. But if you want a car that has massive rangeability, can refuel very quickly, and has some flexibility with how you drive it, I think, and where you drive it, I think that hydrogen really is the future. And, you know, I wouldn't be doing this enterprise at Hyperion if I didn't believe that wholeheartedly. So I believe that hydrogen is going to play a huge impact, not just for automotive, but also for energy storage methodologies in general. For example, there's all this wind and solar that comes in at irregular times in our country, and we have no way of storing it long term because it's too expensive to use, you know, lithium ion batteries. So, you know, we have solutions that are already in place that people have been working on for a long time that can take that electric energy, they can turn it into, you know, hydrogen, they can store mass quantities very, very cheaply, and they can distribute that hydrogen, not just for automotive uses, but for the creation, for example, of ammonia, for pesticides, for the creation of hydrogen for refining other petroleum products, for the use of hydrogen to heat up, for example, steel. You know, there's all these different uses of hydrogen that we like, just not just on cars, but energy storage and industrial gases. It's a massive energy industry. And we think that, you know, revamping our entire energy industry is necessary. And we like hydrogen because it has the ability to do that. And so I guess, you know, what I want to say for electric vehicles is there's a bright future for electric vehicles. We just got to, you know, make sure we're going in the right direction. And for us at Hyperion, we believe that hydrogen electric vehicles are truly the future.
Angelo, I work in TV and I, you know, I have my blow dryer, I have my curling iron, and there have been times when I've been in my bathroom and I've plugged both of them in at the same time and I've tried to blow dry my hair while someone else in the other room is blow drying their hair, and I get a power outage in my apartment. So how do you come up with a solution to maybe charging an electric vehicle, which seems like, in my mind, me who doesn't know as much as you, you know, that takes a lot of energy. So how do you mitigate that problem?
So the problem you're describing is identical to the problem that is with battery electric vehicles today. And what the problem is, when you're blow drying your hair and you're blowing a fuse, right? A fuse is rated for a certain amount of power, right?
Right.
And a blow dryer pulls a lot of power, right? And so does a microwave, and so does a refrigerator. And so if you have multiple appliances plugged into the same, you know, basically breaker, it's going to flip that breaker. And that's exactly what happens whenever you have an outage. Well, the same thing happens on a larger scale with the grid. If, you know, a person on a block, let's say, has one electric vehicle and another person has another electric vehicle that's battery, and that's fine. But what if happens whenever everybody on the block has a battery electric vehicle? Well, instead of having a small system in your home where you're going to basically flip a breaker, you actually have these substations and larger power stations that are between the centralized power of your community that also can pull and deliver a certain amount of power. And when you ask too much of it, you will actually have a power outage. And those outages happen a lot, especially in Southern California, where I live. You'll have outages in Manhattan Beach and Redondo Beach, where people are plugging in their battery electric vehicles too often. And at the same time, which is always at night, of course, when they get back from work. And the grid is just not made to sustain that. And as a result, you know, because this grid is taken, you know, 50 years to build out and trillions of dollars, it's not so easy to just build a bigger grid. And this is one of the reasons why we love hydrogen so much, is that hydrogen is made for you to go with your hydrogen car to a station and refuel. It does not pull power from the grid. And because of that, it's a sort of a self-sustained infrastructure that does not basically push another infrastructure like the electric grid infrastructure to the brink. And that's important because you will have people pushing power beyond their limit in examples like Texas last year. And because of power outages, bad things can happen. People can lose electricity, lose heat, get very, very cold, not be able to store their food, and in some cases, unfortunately, die. And this is something that we're trying to avoid, of course, as a society. And so while we're building better infrastructure, we really need to think about the future, and we need to think about a solution for battery electric and hydrogen electric that doesn't basically push other systems to the brink.
So you talk about the challenges of electric vehicles, being able to charge them, taking that energy from your home, things like that. So where does hydrogen come in? What you say that it's sort of a self-sustained infrastructure. How exactly does a hydrogen electric vehicle work?
So there is a common way to create hydrogen today, where you take natural gas, which is CH4, and you can actually use a process called steam methane reformation and create hydrogen from natural gas and from methane, et cetera. That is a solution to a problem, a short-term solution to a problem that we have to create hydrogen today. But what Hyperion is focusing on and what we see as a future of a hydrogen ecosystem is effectively a system whereby water is passing through an electrolyzer at a very large scale and producing large quantities of hydrogen. That hydrogen then gets effectively put into a large container, right? Imagine just a very large tank, and that can get piped to locations. So you can actually pipe it like you pipe natural gas, or you can actually use that to be distributed on a truck. So there are many ways to transport hydrogen, but what I'm referring to when I say self-sufficient station is or system is basically an ecosystem where you're taking wind and solar that is not being used because there's no way to store it because it's too expensive to store batteries. You're turning into hydrogen. You're storing megawatts and megawatts and megawatts and sometimes gigawatts of power in large quantities in kilogram form. And you can now distribute this to a network of stations that are throughout, you know, a part of the country or region. And that is a system where you can deliver effectively solar and wind power, of which we actually have a lot in this country. You can deliver it efficiently to a hydrogen station so that it's a complete closed loop ecosystem of water turning into hydrogen, turning back into water, all just using solar. And that's sort of the ecosystem that I was describing.
I've got a question to ask you, but right after this. Angelo, I'm going to put you on the spot because I love to make my guests feel uncomfortable. But if I was the president of the United States, which is a long shot, and I don't know if anyone actually wants that, but if I was and you had the opportunity to give me, let's say, a minute long pitch on why we need to implement hydrogen vehicles and how we should do it, what would you tell me?
I would say that hydrogen is the only solution for long distance travel. And a majority of the pollution in our country comes from trucking from coast to coast. And we can make a larger impact in the emissions of this country by converting the hydrogen for commercial vehicles and having that transition other hydrogen applications like passenger vehicles. And I would say effectively that hydrogen is this all around very diverse fuel that is not just for commercial vehicles, not just for passenger vehicles, but can be used to store huge amounts, gigawatts, in fact, amounts of energy for storage so that we could never have a situation like we did in Texas last year. So we can never have a situation where we're depending on other people's oil, and we never have a situation where we have a shortage of energy. Our energy can come from green sources. Our energy can come from wind and solar, and we can store it in mass quantities, and we can distribute it for all different types of applications. And I would say to the president, we need to build more infrastructure. We need to invest in the infrastructure. And we need to build a network across the country of hydrogen stations for trucks and for cars to enable automakers to build more of their fuel cell electric vehicles, because they have the technology. They've had it for 20 years. They're getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. They're eventually going to get even cheaper than what we have today across the board. And when that happens, we want to make sure that we're ready with an infrastructure in place so that we don't have to depend on foreign energy ever again.
Yes, I was going to drop the mic there because that was wonderful. but I do have one quick follow-up. I feel like a lot of people probably will agree with you. We don't want to depend on anyone for foreign energy. We do love our trucking industry just because they have been the heroes with the supply chain crisis and working during COVID and all of that. So if you were to talk to a trucker, let's say, would you be able to convince them that your hydrogen electric technology would be good for them still? They would still have a job.
Yes, actually, that's a very interesting question. I've never been asked that. Thank you for asking. So if I were to talk to a trucker today, I'd say, first of all, they are totally necessary for the supply chain and they will always have a job, always, no matter what new technology is out there. The benefit if they're driving a hydrogen truck is they would have to stop fewer times because it's actually more energy dense and you can store a lot of it, especially with this technology that we have. And beyond that, and this is something that they're really going to like, all their shifting of gears, you know, they have to go through 13 gears sometimes to make it up a hill and to get the right, stages. All that can go away because the motors powering a fuel cell electric truck, like a Class 8 truck, will have the torque to make it up any hill in a cinch. And if they want to take it to a drag strip, they can have a whole lot of fun with their friends. So not only will their job be there and be secure, but they will be able to haul literal with a hydrogen car.
So, I love it. Well, Angela, I wish I was the president of the United States because that was a wonderful pitch and I would have pushed it through right away. I appreciate your time. I hope one day you do get in front of the president to pitch this idea, but I appreciate everything you're doing and I appreciate your time coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Appreciate that.
If you missed anything from class, these are my office hours, and here are some top takeaways about electric vehicles. Number one, there are multiple types of electric vehicles. For example, some electric vehicles use lithium batteries, others use hydrogen. The difference between these two is that while a lithium battery can take up to 8 hours to charge, a hydrogen battery could charge in 2 to 3 minutes. Number two, Angelo says hydrogen gas that's being put into your car allows you to have a quick refuel. It's lighter than air, so you can have a full tank of gas and it weighs very little. You don't have to carry around that weight, so you have the same benefit of getting that power. The difference between that and an electric vehicle is you're putting molecules in that tank rather than ions. And a benefit with hydrogen is that you don't have to worry about mining lithium, which could be damaging to the environment. And number three, a huge question I had was how would this affect truckers? Because they have been really the backbone of our delivery system and the supply chain that we've had in our country, especially when it comes to COVID. They've showed up to work. Here's what Angelo told me. He said, if you were to drive a hydrogen truck, you would have to stop less times and the motor would have the torque, so you wouldn't have to change gears as often. So it really benefits the truckers to consider this lifestyle once we're able to implement the change. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast on electric vehicles. For more podcasts, you can go to foxnewspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this one on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and leave us a review. This has been Getting Schooled with Abby Hornacek on the Fox News Podcast Network. Class dismissed.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.